I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, we are going to talk about the power of journaling. If you've been following my work for a while, either here through the podcast or at productivityist.com, you know that I'm a big fan of journaling. I think it's one of the best things you can do to help speed up that review process that's so critical to your productivity. And Zachary Sexton and I talk about the power of journaling in this episode. Of course, there is more to this that we talk about, and that's available to our Patreon supporters. I'll get to that as we wrap up the show, but let's just get into things right now. Here is my conversation with Zachary Sexton on the power of journaling here on the Productivityist Podcast. Enjoy. Zachary Sexton joins me here on the podcast today. Thanks for joining me, Zachary.
Hey,
it sounds weird to call you Zachary. Can I just call you Zach?
You can call me Zach. I go with Zachary when typing because there's no chance of misspelling it, but I'm a Z-A-C-K-er.
Right. So
that's why I don't use it in the letters.
When I go, like, so people call me Michael, it's like I feel like I'm in trouble. I would think that Zachary is like, Zachary, you're like, what? What'd I do? Whereas Zach's like, hey, Zach. It's like, hey, how's it going? Like, that's how I think that would go down.
It's close enough. But we're buddies. We've hung out for the last, gosh, what, 2.5 or so years in the productivity space?
Easily, because, the space is the great thing about the productivity space is when you're in it and you've got, you've been doing it for a while, is that everyone kind of comes across each other's paths at some time or another. And we first met at the World Domination Summit of all things, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where you meet, I think, half your guests. I've been binge listening to your podcast.
That's what happens.
Well, we met at World Domination Summit.
Yeah, it's where you wind up. I mean, that's why I go every year just to meet podcast guests. But today, I want to dive into something that's near and dear to both our hearts. In fact, one of the things that I make sure that I bring up when I talk about this is that there's an episode on another podcast that I really enjoy called The Fizzle Show, where they talk about journaling. And I was on that show with my friend Sean Blanc, who is also going to be on the show coming up very soon as a repeat guest. But I want to talk about journaling with you because I know that that's something you're really passionate about. Why do you, just to get things kicked off, why do you journal?
I kind of want to ask you the same question because when I first heard about journaling, I assumed it was something that teenage girls did to express their emotions or their feelings, and it wasn't something that I was drawn to. I know a lot of people where I used to work at Asian Efficiency and kind of in the circles that I run in hear journaling and they're really drawn to it. I never was. So I want to hear why you what got you started journaling. What are some of the big benefits that you thought you would get? And then maybe what are some of the benefits that you've been getting? Because I definitely have a long list of my own.
Well, one of the reasons that I started was this is back when I was doing Getting Things Done, is I really struggled with doing the review. And I wasn't alone in that. I still hear a lot of people that are either using GTD or left GTD behind like I did, that were really struggling with the idea of keeping up with a weekly review. And so I felt that one of the things I could do in order to kind of take stock of the day and keep tabs on where I was, and I kind of looked at this as like the Star Trek, the captain's log. I actually call mine the daily log, and that's what we call it in Now Your Method, is to do the daily log, which is, it's kind of like, again, when any of the Starship Enterprise captains would say, here's where we were, here's where we are now, and here's where we're going. And that's kind of how I modeled my journaling. It's like, here's what happened, here's where I was when I started the day, or even before that, if I'm doing some deeper recollection. Here's where I am now, and here's where I'm going. And it kind of, allowed me to, when I went back and actually did a rapid review, which is something I do every 2 weeks, I was able to read my journal entries and see, oh, well, this is where I started 2 weeks ago, and this is where I am now. How did I get here? And it allows me to kind of course correct along the way, too. Journaling, because I would do it every day, would allow me to like make quick changes so I wouldn't veer too far off course. Once I got around the same thing you were discussing, which is the idea of, oh, my God, this is something that, my daughter should be doing, in terms of diarizing and stuff like that. As soon as I kind of, came to grips with, the idea that, it wasn't just for teenage girls, or it wasn't just for, you know, people who are, trying to do a travel log or whatever. When I realized that, you know, we do journal every day if we're using Facebook, we just journal for the entire world. Why wouldn't it be worthwhile for me to do it for myself? And so for me, that was the big turning point. It's why I've kept it up. And there's some tricks that I use, you know. I mean, I use day one for journaling, as many of my listeners know. So I take a picture with every journal entry to kind of act as a trigger in case the day goes crazy and I only have 5 minutes, let's say, at the end of the day to do it. The other thing I found it does, it actually helps me sleep better, Zach, because I'm emptying my brain out at the end of the day, so I'm not having these lingering thoughts. Plus, it helps set up my evening routine so that it's actually the closing, well, it's like the second thing before I wrap up my day. But it kind of triggers what I'm going to do the next day. So when I wake up the next morning and I'm a bit of a zombie, at least I've got a sense of what I should be doing to start off the day as opposed to flying blind. What about you, though?
Yeah, I eventually got to where you're at with the captain's log, and I've never heard that analogy before, but I really like it, and it makes sense with the book recommendations you've given me in the past. I eventually got to that point. I think it helped with my still a practicer of getting things done. Of course, as most people, you make the system your own. So I'm sure it's not to the T of what Mr. Allen would have prescribed. But it did eventually lead to it was a bucket that I put down to make sure that I didn't miss anything. And oftentimes when I write these logs, I'll be like, oh man, yeah, I got to set that calendar appointment, or oh boy, I need to follow up with that person, or this is the most important thing that I've got to do tomorrow. Let's make sure that happens and schedule some time for it in the morning. So I definitely got those benefits that you got with basically having it as a intermediate review in between your weekly or biweekly or monthly or however often you give maintenance to your overall productivity system. But it actually started a little simpler than that. It was something that I used to prompt myself to either start a new behavior or think about a problem that I was trying to solve. And I got this idea from somebody on the Asian Efficiency team, is no longer on the team, but Aaron Lin. He wrote this article on how he journaled. And it basically was a systems improvement journal. He would ask himself, like, you know, what went well today? What didn't go well today? How could I have improved? What was something that I would have done differently? Series of just prompts that gets him thinking about how can I make little improvements to my life every single day? And that idea resonated with me. That wasn't writing my feelings down. That wasn't giving a log, which seems like, well, why do I need a log of the day? I already lived it. You know, there's no point in having that. So having those questions that I answered allowed me to make little improvements. And what I really love about having a journaling habit is it can act as almost a meta habit, where if I want to start doing something new, I can just put an extra prompt in my journal. And my questions right now are, you know, what are the most important tasks for the day? So I definitely use it as a daily planning tool. Another one, just to kind of keep some top of mind awareness on my beautiful now fiance. We were just girlfriends and boyfriends last time we saw each other. Nikita, I just asked myself, how is she amazing? What did I learn and read? This is one that I never miss. Because everybody learns something during the day, and especially people like you and I were on the computer a little bit more during the day, you're going to come across a neat fact, an interesting piece of information. So I always put that one in there. Tracking energy levels, tracking exercise, tracking sleep, just anything that you want to give a little bit more awareness to, prompt yourself with a question to do it. And then where your log comes in, which I've actually found has as much, if not more, benefit. I started saying, what was I focused on during the morning, during the day, and during the night? And I always fill that log in after my morning ritual. And then, like yourself, towards the end of the day, if I don't get to it at the end of the day, I start my day by doing a quick review, which allows me to see if there was any open loops that I needed to take care of. But again, if you close those loops before bedtime, you're definitely going to be able to fall asleep a little bit more easily.
Why did you – it's one of the things I didn't do, and I know some people like to do this, but why did you set it up with so much structure? And I say so much because it's much for me, but do you think that was one of the things you needed to have in place in order to really make the habit stick?
I think so. I think now if I just had a blank piece of paper or a blank OneNote, or I do mine in Evernote. And I'm actually curious, before I answer that question, sure, when you have your OneNote, do you have multiple entries throughout the day, or do you try to get it all on one OneNote for each day?
You mean in day one, right?
Oh, sorry.
That's one, okay. Yeah. That's okay. Because you can use OneNote for journaling too. I only do one entry per day.
Okay. And then I'll go back and edit it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I used day one over the summer, and I really liked it. And it was the summer where Nikita and I were on the road for about 3 months. And I figured it would be easier for me to enter into day one via the mobile app. The mobile app's a lot better than the Evernote app. And I really liked the picture part. And I really liked whenever you had an entry, it says where you are and the temperature and all this cool information that gets automatically put into there. But what I didn't like is there was a little bit of friction editing the note. You had to like click edit each time. And I like with Evernote, you're able to just start typing in there whenever you want to. And you don't have to click edit and then start typing. So that one little bit, I emailed them saying, hey, that's my sticking point. Sorry, I can't keep using your app, but I really like everything else. Because I didn't want to have multiple entries during each day. I just wanted each day to sort of live in its own little box. But your question about the prompts, I don't think I would have known what to say or what to put in there. And the fact that there's just a question, what did I learn? Okay. Oh, I learned this cool new technique to edit video. I'm going to write about that. Or what did I do for exercise? Oh crap, I didn't exercise. Let me, go out and run around the block or something. Those seem to get words out of me, and that helped me build the habit.
So let's talk about the idea of, I want to dive a bit into the how journaling kind of ties into, and you mentioned this, the whole like monthly theming stuff, right? We were talked about this a little bit before. Do you find that journaling keeps you on tap, like keeps you going with whatever and keeps you pulled back towards these monthly themes that you create? I know it does for me, and I know it does for my daily themes as well. And if so, like, does it help you also come up with the changes you might need to make to themes that you may have already set? Like, how does that inform one another?
That's a good question. I don't think my daily review make sure that I'm on point for my monthly theme. I could probably put a prompt in there if it was really needed to focus in. Okay, this month is all about content. This month is all about coaching. This month's all about XYZ. I could put a prompt in my daily journal that says, how are your actions aligned with your daily, monthly theme? So I could do it. I don't currently do it. However, with my weekly journaling review, I do prompt myself to think of the three major goals that I want to have for the week. So I steal the idea from Agile, not Agile Development.
Is it the Agile Way?
Yeah, the Agile Way.
Yeah, J.D. Meyer's stuff, yeah.
J.D. Meyer's book, the Agile Way, which haven't read it in a very long time, obviously, if I can't remember the name. But the one thing that stuck with me was deciding your three most important tasks for each day and three most important tasks for the overarching task for the week. I really like that idea. And when I am deciding the three tasks for the week, I look at I reflect on, what's the focus this month? What's the focus this quarter? And let's make sure those things that I want to get done align with those. And I typically break those three things down, and that's what makes up my daily task.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's talk a bit deeper about the power of what journaling does for you. How long have you been journaling for, you said? I can't remember.
A little over 2 years.
Okay. And what's changed over those 2 years?
Well, the questions constantly change or morph. I wouldn't say constantly. Usually the same set of questions unchanged last for about 2 months, and then I'll either take one away or add one to it. So the questions have morphed over the months and the years of doing this.
Okay. Platforms? Platforms?
Platforms? The only thing that changed was that one summer that I mentioned, I used day one.
Right. But no paper, none of that.
I've never done it on paper. I think one time when I was 15, I was on a study abroad in Sardinia, Italy, and I tried doing a paper one. I think it lasted 3 days. So no paper.
Okay. And do you ever go back? Like, I know you review your journal, but do you do, like, what I do every year is at the end of every year, I go back and I read my journal from page one to page 365. Do you do the same thing?
I do. Yeah, I'd spend a day and just look over the whole thing. I actually copy what a former business partner at Asian Efficiency, Tan Pham, does is take all of that information by sitting down and reading through it all and try to distill the year down into a word. And just like, okay, 2015 was growth. 2016, you know, is going to be what? 2014 was change. So that's a annual practice that I do have.
And if someone's going to start journaling, like, I mean, where do you think they should start? Because, and I want to dive into a bit of a deeper review model as we go in here too, but I mean, where, if they're struggling with starting, where do you think that they should begin that process?
If somebody wants to journal, make sure that that's the thing that you're focusing on the moment, because you and I both know that when you try to start 2, 3, 4, 6, 9 habits at one time, it generally never ends up well. So make sure that's your focus at least for a month or so. You can't be beginning of 2017 or beginning if people follow how you schedule your year, beginning of September, decide, okay, I'm going to start working out. I'm going to start journaling. I'm going to start meditating. I'm going to start all of these things, which are all great things to do, but each one of those things does take willpower to enact. So I would say first, make sure that you're not trying to juggle a bunch of things and just add journaling to the list, because it's something that will take a little bit of willpower until it becomes automatic. So that would be the first thing I would say. Second is, why do you want to journal? There are many, many benefits of journaling. There's the reflection, there's the review, there's the capture that we were both talking about earlier. There's the idea of coming back at the end of the year and synthesizing all that information. There's just the reminders that if you're going back at the end of the day and writing everything down, you're like, oh yeah, I need to do that. Or like the prompts that I use that reminds you to take a certain action. The prompt that says, what did I do for exercise today, prompts me to think about what I'm going to do for exercise today, because I'm in between gyms, I'm not training for anything in particular, I need to have something to remind me. Or if it's focus, I know a lot of times when I'm entering in my journal, I'll be like, whoa, okay, that last 2 hours slipped away from me. How can I reengage and start doing what I need to be doing to get to the goals that I want to be getting to? So decide what that is and then use a structure that will do that. So if you really just want to help with capture, just like you have, or a piece of what I have, just start writing the log and letting, you know, just letting yourself know what happened that day and the good, the bad, the ugly, just whatever you want, blank sheet. If you do want to have it for a reminder or something that will help prompt different actions, then think of a few questions that you would like to ask yourself that would prompt you to take those actions. And I guess from there, decide, you know, are you a digital guy or girl, or are you paper-based, and whatever feels best, whatever feels easiest for you. The reason I went digital is just because I know it could be there. It's very easy to do. I can do it on my phone as well. I got terrible handwriting. I can type relatively fast. And a big reason in all these prompts, I don't type out all these prompts every time, is I use Text Expander, which is, I imagine most of the people in your audience know, but a software that you can get on your Mac and now PC, I understand, that you type in a shortcut and it expands out into whatever you want, bunch of words, some pictures, some links, whatever you want. And that honestly is probably the biggest reason I didn't go paper, is because I didn't want to rewrite all those questions every time, but I knew I could use the Text Expander software to prompt all those questions. I also use Text Expander to date every single note. So I have a note in Evernote that I that says at journaling, and I create a new note in there every day. The title of the note is the day, the date, and then the week of the year. And I use Text Expander to pop that in there. And then I go down, press tab, go down and press another Text Expander that has all those prompts on there. So all I have to do is like five keystrokes, and I've got my whole journaling page ready to be filled in. And do I fill in every one every day? No, I don't. But I make sure that something gets in there every day. And it's amazing how just a little, like sometimes a sentence will bring you back, and a flood of memories will come in. I know when we were doing the traveling, I looked over those day one entries, and sometimes I had like two sentences in there, but it totally reminded me, oh, we were at that campground and we had that for dinner. And granted, it was only a year and a half ago, so those memories haven't completely faded yet, but it's really nice. It almost feels like you just have this magic power to go back in time and see what you were doing at that point. And the longer you have it, the bigger archive you have of going back and seeing, oh, what was going on back there? Or sometimes you might misremember something. An example that I'm writing an article on actually how I journal, which I now have a deadline, November 14th, so I can put it in the show notes. And I was telling a story about, again, because I love to talk about her, my fiance, Nikita, how she's like, man, the beginning of this year is so tough. It was so much better last year. And my memory was, no, it wasn't. It was mm-hmm. It was pretty significantly worse the year before. But I didn't say anything because I know that she wasn't looking for somebody, a fact checker. She was just looking for somebody to have some empathy with and support and whatnot. So I did that. But then it got me curious. It's like, who is wrong here? You know, who is misremembering? So I go back and just scroll back in Evernote, and I probably could have done a search as well. And I look and I see that entire first month of school, she is not getting home till well after dark. There's all these problems that were going on, and I wrote about them. Are those things that I wrote in my log 100% accurate? Well, probably not, but it's Zach of last year. He was only a day away from the events, or it was actually happened that day, where me, you know, it's like, it's 12, 13 months ago. I don't quite remember. I don't have the best memory on what would have been happening. So having more accurate information that you could then go back and look on and then make decisions based off. So maybe, I don't know, but Nikita is thinking that her school keeps on getting worse and worse and worse. She might want to leave and find another school to work for, when in actuality, it's getting better and better. Well, maybe not. So you can use that archive to help make decisions. And the longer you have it going, the more you could look back and review and reflect, especially those synthesized. I don't know how you do your annual review, but those synthesized weekly ones for me help me get a snapshot, just look at 50 or so little notes, and you could really see what a year was about.
Did you ever try the 5-minute journal? I know that's a popular one. I have the app. I never bought the, obviously you never bought the paper. Did you ever try that, or do you just take some of the strategies that are maybe in it? Because I'll share some stuff in the show notes of how some people do actually use it. But have you ever like looked at that and thought about that, or is it more you know kind of taken the best of each practice and kind of combined it and made it your own?
I have, and I actually think my practice is pretty similar mm-hmm. to 5-year.
It seems like that.
Yeah. And I did for a time, that's reminded me, have a prompt that was, what was I grateful for? What are some things that I'm grateful for? And that's just an awareness practice, and that's just directing your attention. So this is something Nikita had been wanting to journal for a very long time, and never really found the practice. So what we did is, in part of our morning ritual for the 6 months until the book got filled up, mm-hmm. we did it together, and I would say what my thoughts were, and she would just be getting ready for school, because she has to go to school at an ungodly hour. She would just tell me what her thoughts were, and I would transcribe them and write them down. It was a really nice practice for the time we were doing it.
Do you ever recite your entries? Like, I do that a lot. So for example, in day one, it doesn't matter what app, you could use Evernote, whatever. I actually recite my entries a lot, especially near the end of the day when I'm feeling kind of burnt out and tired. You know, have you ever done that? Or I guess it would kind of mess up with your template in a lot of ways.
Say it again, recite them?
Yeah, like actually speak it voice to text.
No, I haven't. Although I could, because all I would do is just click on that point where what was I focused on? I would say, first I did this, then I did this, then I did this. Although I find that when I'm writing, it actually makes me slow down and think about what I actually did, and I remember a little bit more. So not quite sure, but yeah, I have that hack in Apple where I just type in the FN twice, and I it can. Pretty much as good as drag and dictate, I think, at this point. And the iOS dictate is getting a lot quicker, too. I learned a great hack if you want to dictate your notes into Evernote. Well, one, you could just record...
An
audio note, which works, but I feel like text is a lot better for review. You're not as likely to go back and listen to a bunch of notes.
Yeah.
But you just use the audio to text function on your iPhone, if you're an iPhone user, which you, I don't know.
I am. Some of my audience members won't be, but if you're using iOS, this is a good tip for you.
There's probably a text to audio for Android devices, I would assume. But you just, it's right next to the space bar. You click it there, and you can. It's amazing. It transcribes very, very, very well. I learned that from a Evernote expert in Austin, Texas, Stacey Harmon, and geeked out about that when I found that, because it's nice. You know, if you want to go for a walk, or if you're maybe drafting up an article and you want to get a lot of ideas out, I think that could be a really nice hack to do that, whether it's journaling or for some other purpose.
So let's talk about how you actually review your journal, because we talked about, you know, the idea of let's get the let's look at long, far-reaching goals. Let's look at the format, the platforms that we use. But and let's look at, you know, we talked about the yearly review and all that. But how do you keep tabs? How do you review the journal so that it sticks and it stays with you, so that you actually are moving forward in the direction you want to?
Yeah, it was something I sucked at for a very long time. And I used external accountability to help me out with that. And now I'm actually quite good at reviewing my journal, because I know there's people out there that are waiting for me to review my journal. And the way I set this up is with a free service out there called Tiny Letter. I believe MailChimp owns it, which is another big email service provider. And what you can do is you can sign up for a free account, up to 5,000 people, and send out a newsletter to anybody who either wants to subscribe, or you can put people on the list if you have their permission to do so. So I started with just a few family and friends that I said, hey, I've been really trying to review my journal on a regular basis, and I never do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look through all my journal notes and find the three most interesting things, either health or productivity or fitness or whatever I find the most interesting. And I'm going to put it in there and write it up a little bit, maybe add an image or send a link to a resource or a tool that I think is interesting, and send it out once a week. Do you want to get that email? And the four or five people that originally started said, yeah, that would be fun. I'll do that. And I think I must have mentioned it on the podcast, and maybe in an article at Asian Efficiency, because now there's a couple hundred people who get that email.
That's great.
And I've only had one unsubscribe. I don't wonder who that person. Actually, I don't
know
who
that was. You'll have to find them and track them down.
I think it's like an 86% open rate. Pretty good. So people who subscribe either know me or like what I'm putting into that weekly review. So the more I talk about it, the more accountability I have towards doing this. So my only thing is I need to look through all the learnings and decide which are interesting and fully flesh out those ideas too. I find a lot of times that writing or speaking about things helps you develop the idea further in your own mind. So the material will be ingrained deeper. But when that happens, I inevitably look over the week, and then I inevitably fill in some of my priorities and some of the improvements, some of the aha moments that I've had, some of the whoa moments that I've had during the week, and it happens. And it forced that external accountability, knowing that a couple hundred people are gonna be like, haha, Zach didn't do it this week, is enough to get me to do it. I'd say I'm over 90%. I'm not 100%. I do miss weeks every once in a while, but that's really helped me out. So that's a hack that you can do if you want to review. You're already journaling and you want to review it. You can ask your wife or your friend or a journaling buddy or whoever to be your external accountability and do the weekly learning.
Excellent. Well, that about does it for this episode. You've given us a lot to think about, Zach. I encourage everybody that's checked out your weekly learnings. But where else can they find you online so that they can learn more about you and keep tabs on your journey, maybe even journal about it along the way? Maybe they have a special entry at the bottom saying what Zach is up to, and then they can just write that in the bottom. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you want to do follow along with the weekly learnings, I don't think it's posted publicly right now, but the URL is still live. If you go to ZacharySexton.com/newsletter, you can see that. Otherwise, I hang out on Twitter, probably a little bit too often, at ZWSexton. And that's about it. At ZWSextonPix is my Instagram, but I'll be probably guest posting around the internet and writing a little bit more on my own blog, ZacharySexton.com. So if people want to check it out there, they can.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the time today, Zach. It's great always, as usual, talking to you. And we will chat to you again soon.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
And that, my friends, is all she wrote for this episode, but not for your journal entries, hopefully. I hope you're going to get started doing that. If you're not already doing journaling, there's tons of options out there. We went over them during this episode. Thanks to Zachary for joining me on the episode this week. You can look at all the links and all the things we discussed in the show notes, which are available at the blog post, on the Productivityist website, or in your podcast player that you're using, whether it's iTunes, like the podcasts app on your iPhone, whether it's Overcast, whatever you're using, or on your Android device, check out the show notes. There's a lot that we had to offer in this episode, but there's even more that we had to offer over at the Patreon edition of this episode. In fact, every single week, you won't just get additional content in the weekly episode, but you'll get a bonus episode as well, where I go over some of the finer points of productivity, get a little bit more personal with that. So head over to patreon.com/productivityist to learn more about that, as well as the perks that you can receive, which go all the way up to getting a personal one-to-one productivityist coaching session with me every single month. So check that out at patreon.com/productivityist. Big thanks to John Polster for producing this week's episode of the podcast, as well as all of the prior episodes that he's been part of. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'll be back next week with a shiny new episode of the show. But until then, this is Mike Vardy, the founder of Productivityist and host of the Productivityist podcast, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.